Apple acquired.
Indeed. Also, I got like a million pictures from some guy I don't know.
Our name is Dick.
Huh? Hi, Jesse. It's John. We met at Green Thumb. I need to tell him that this is everything is wrong. Whoa, those are some cool pictures, though.
Right, I'm back.
I have no idea what they're about.
What is this?
I got a whole bunch of pictures from a freelance photographer for a job that he was doing, and I'm not the target. I'm not the person he's supposed to send these to.
Nice.
So I just sent him a thing back saying, "Hi, John, this is the wrong person. These are really cool pictures, though."
Just hang on a second while I stuff my face with food.
I'm using an Apple, so you're in good company.
French toast. That's the name of what I'm eating. I blanked on what I was like, bread, egg thing.
Bread egg.
Very British delicacy.
I'm just, yeah, no, I just have a delicious Honeycrisp apple. I ate one of these last night and got to, I underestimated how juicy they were, and I had to go wash pants.
Oh no.
It's honestly the first
It's
time I've had an apple spill on me.
I unequivocally think that mangoes are the most infuriating delicious fruit. If only because they just get juice everywhere.
I don't think I've ever had a mango.
They're great.
Also, man, we have a lot of spam that's actually getting through Akismet.
Yeah, I saw that. I think it's because Akismet needs to update.
Does it? Is that.
Yeah, it's got a plugin update ready to go.
I'm saying that PowerPress or it's saying that PowerPress needs to update. Akismet says it's fine.
Oh, that's weird.
So let's see. Update PowerPress while I'm at it, though, because why not? I'm sure you're thrilled to listen to my clerical duties, Internet.
None of this is going in anyway.
No, I like talking
Won't
about.
even.
I think we're gonna. I'm gonna keep in stuff about talking about apples.
Apples is good.
Apples.
Actually, hold on a
Also,
second.
egg bread.
Egg bread. Bread egg.
Oh right, I forgot I actually put in the fourth session of Prominence, someone put a comment about the recordings, and I remember because I had to do something to make it just to make it sound different, so I just put in a whole bunch of noise, and also I found a sound effect of someone starting and stopping a tape recorder.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I was wondering how you had done that. And then I replied on there for you, saying you're awesome. Alrighty, I'm ready to go whenever Josh gets back. I've stuffed myself with bread, egg, and sausage, and strawberries.
All right, and actually, like once I finish this apple, I might need to take like a 15-minute break to get a tire off a thing for someone.
Oh, okay, that's fine. No worries. We'll just be in permanent suspense as to what the horrific thing you guys are going after is.
Welcome to Breakfast Chat.
Breakfast chat. Breakfast chat.
And after tire, I might throw in some like toaster waffles or something. Because one apple is not sufficient. I'm sorry for delaying this game so
No, it's
much.
fine. Whatever.
It was kind of early
I
anyway,
had some
so.
toast with Nutella.
You said early.
I know! Because I thought, like, I wouldn't need food or have to change tire.
God, Josh, why you gotta be a person?
Also, if nothing else, it made me wake up earlier in general, so
That's
stuff will
true.
get done.
That is true.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that I had something to wake me up early so I didn't stay up till 5 a.m. playing Kerbal Space Program again. It's really, really easy to lose yourself in that game.
Wow. So late last year, in California, I think, or maybe just LA, apparently a measure was passed requiring all porn filming to have condoms used. And so in 2012, there were 500 permits requested for filming for porn. And so far this year, two have been requested. So it's a 99% drop in porn being produced in LA.
Huh.
Which is probably a lot of money.
Yeah. So apparently the porn industry is moving elsewhere.
I was just expecting it to be like one of those things. I was expecting the statistic to be something else. Like the stats of the Olympic Village.
Yeah.
70,000 condoms.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous.
Billions and billions of condoms.
You just go Carl Sagan about condoms.
In our infinite universe, prophylactics.
Our infinite universe of contraceptives to prevent any further children in the cosmos.
All right, Apple complete. I will be back with it.
Wait, are you...
So we should find out if anyone else wants to be a coyote cop at some point. Like if...
Who?
James or Kevin would want to.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, whoever's awake at this time.
I will run games for whoever.
Coyote cops. They're the best. I'm still also waiting
like to think that coyote cops... aside from being Delta Green friendlies now, I like to think that, Coyote is the thing that if somebody dies and a new character enters,
yeah,
Coyote is the tying thread.
Coyote just starts fucking with a new person in their dreams, and then they finally get thrown in with you guys, and it makes sense.
Yeah, I like Coyote was to constantly be amused around Arizona, apparently.
It also helped people, because... He likes them, kind of, sometimes, sort of. Mostly, I think they're just interesting.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're way easier to fuck with than animals. All right, yeah, I'll be right back.
All right, my apple is done enough.
All right, well, now we've lost Josh, so
oh.
Might as well eat another one.
Oh, doop. Man, I have not checked out the forums this weekend.
Not much has been going on.
Yeah, it tends to be the case. People seem to have lives.
Yeah. I do like that the quotes thread is not quite the most updated one, but it's the most updated recently. It is the clear second to the Frida's mega thread.
Yeah. The latest of which has been about how many people have quit the podcast because of Frida's.
Yeah. Ah, well. I think there was only one person who actually quit the podcast because of Frida's.
Yeah.
And that guy was a douche anyway.
Yeah, no, that was... Yeah.
Whatever.
Can say whatever we want about him, because we're not mentioning him specifically. And also, he doesn't listen to this. He's like, oh man, Call of Cthulhu. Hey, wait. Wow, really? The last update we did the Eclipse Phase thread was in January?
Yeah, well, I didn't update it when we did the pop back into stuff.
Yeah. Still wish when I went to Skinesthesia I hadn't done the space plane thing, that I asked if they could make me a raptor. It's just like the best idea came way too late.
I'm reading back through these, and these are just my summations of the episodes are just stupid.
I thought that was the intention.
It was, but
at some point I kept Hannah very well in, or I taught Hannah everything I know about kangaroos, which is mostly that she didn't know there were different kinds. Today on Breakfast Chat, we discuss the varied species of the kangaroo.
How did I become a space plane, you ask? Session 5 complete. Starfish face acquired!
Oh, man. That would have been... I would have liked to have a space plane body.
It's still possible. Just gotta go out to the brink and get somebody to make it for you.
Where is the farthest solar system colony anyway? It's like the Jovian moons.
No, it's there's colonies out in the Oort cloud.
Out in the where?
Oort cloud, Oort. the crazy ass the place that Pluto came from, the you know super far out asteroid belt thing that's out on the edges of the space system. Space system, solar system. Yes.
Oort cloud.
Yes.
The Oort or Oppa cloud. Ah, okay. Somewhere in the Kuiper belt.
Yes.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
Yeah, there's colonies out in there. And then, you know, there's all the planets that you can only access through Pandora gates.
Right.
Which, you know, who knows how far out they are. Hypercores know how far out they are.
Well, it's hard to get a good reading of where the Pandora gate has taken you, right?
No, I mean, they can pretty much figure it out. You know, it's one of the first, as far as I know, you know, I haven't read Gate Crashing, but it's one of the first things that they do is establish location.
Yeah, Gate Crashing is kind of, I guess it's sort of a, like, well, what else we got to do? Because if you do Gate Crashing, you're just like, yep, this whole setting, fuck it.
Pretty much.
I'm writing something new.
Pretty much. All this cool stuff about the inner system, we're throwing it out the window.
Fuck that intrigue.
I do have at least one idea for a gate crashing scenario. But just because it's from a really old sci-fi story I read that's just fucking hilarious. And it would be really funny.
That seems to be the really old sci-fi story seem to be your continuing theme for this campaign.
Yeah. Yeah, and pretty much everything else I do. I can't count how many Neuromancer references I've thrown into this Eclipse Phase game.
It's fine. I think one of our I think I said it before, but one of the longest standing things being from, like, honestly literally the first game I ran for this group.
Mm-hmm.
That being the description of the underworld portals, because there never really was one.
Mm-hmm.
But that the description I always give is a reference to this, like, I don't know the length of it because I read it on a forum, but it was like hundreds and hundreds of posts. It was the story I read on a Star Trek forum at the recommendation of one of my friends. It has nothing to do with Star Trek. But it's called The Salvation War.
Mm. Yes, I actually know about this.
Yeah, and it's basically 90% of it is like gunwank, but
yeah. I think I know about this because you showed it to me a while ago.
Yeah. It had a lot of interesting ideas in between all the talk about what kind of guns they were using to kill the demons, but for listeners at home, the whole story is about God abandons man and gives the earth to Satan, and then people are like, hey, let's just fight the demons. And then there's this whole thing that the demons thought they were invincible, and then, because up until about 100 years ago, before we developed all kinds of crazy, crazy high armaments, mm-hmm. they pretty much were.
Yeah. But as soon as we got armor-piercing rounds.
Well, and armor-piercing rounds and also tanks.
Yeah, true.
And that's kind of like the whole first battle is like the demons are using like 15th century infantry formations. They're lining in rank and file in like a force like tens of thousands strong, and they opened up a gate. I can't remember where they opened the gate at, but basically that during the time they were setting up and figuring out formations, like the human army had set up lines of razor wire and landmines and had put like thousands of tanks along a ridge. And all the demons were armed with, they had giant like demon beast horses, but they also had bronze tridents. Because I think The writer of the story was saying every time is like, oh man, why are the demons so weak? And it's like, they're not weak. They're incredibly powerful. It's just that their power has made them arrogant, and they've never attempted to adapt their technology because they've always been superior to the people they ruled.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole thing I took from that story was the way they describe they call it the Hellmouth, or any of the portals they open. They describe it as being like it looks just pure jet black. But when you look at it, it hurts your eyes like you're looking into the sun, and that's just because you can't comprehend this. You can't see through it because you can't understand it, and that's why it hurts to look at. There are a lot of particularly interesting. I also like the ideas that they're trying to find people. They're trying to figure out how the demons open portals, and so they're talking. So they're trying to figure out how to communicate with demons, and so they go and talk to a whole bunch of famous psychics, and you know, immediately find out that all of them are fakes. And then I like the idea that they're like, well, so if psychics can communicate with demons, does that mean they just hear demons talking in their head all the time? Yeah. Well, that'd be enough to make a person go crazy.
Yeah.
And then they immediately start checking all the asylums. And they find out that, like, oh, wow, all those people with voices in their heads, yeah, they actually did have those. It also ends up with a person with one of the main most powerful, like, psychics in that was, like, just some user on the forum that happened to, like, be the first to respond. And so they got to, like, give a name and appearance for their character, and they gave, like, the weirdest of both. I think the character's name was Kitten, with a lowercase K. And she was, like, I think she was, like, proto-goth and wore a choker.
Nice. So, the girl from NCIS?
Kinda. I didn't see the show when I read that, but yeah, it seems like an apt comparison.
Yeah.
She ended up winning by the end of the war, she ended up winning the highest medal that could be awarded to a civilian. Because she was never actually put into the military. And they were regretting they couldn't give her the Congressional Medal of Honor because she wasn't actually a soldier. But no, there was a lot of... And then there's a second story following the whole war to conquer hell, and it's not interesting.
Yeah. Believe it.
Because it's the same story, except it's the same story.
Yeah, and the second time around, the gunwank gets kind of old.
Because it's like...
That's one of my problems with... There's a writer named David Weber who does, just straight-out brilliant space opera. Like, has this whole huge, enormous series that he's written. It's very realistic. You know, to the point where the science he comes up with to explain spaceships, you know, seems to make sense, and you know, has a very good internal logic. And like half the books are, it's gunwank about futuristic spaceships that are extremely realistic and everything. So it's kind of cool. But he wrote a book called, fuck it, it's like, so it's something like Darkness Falls or something like, I can't remember what the name of the book is, but it's, the premise is Earth gets invaded by aliens who, you know, are like kind of wolfish looking dudes. And you know, it's a whole Red Dawn situation where, you know, Americans fight off the alien invaders with, you know, Barrett 50 cals and that kind of thing. But the end of the book gets really weird because it's three quarters of the book is about, you know, shooting aliens basically. And then it switches to the aliens' perspective and you start getting all these stories about, you know, they've had outposts that just like get completely wiped out and they have no idea why. And, you know, you know, all their soldiers are just getting massacred, like bodily, brutally destroyed. And then the last scene of the book is all of the, you know, all of the characters from America, along with this one like Eastern European dude that's been hanging around, suddenly appear on the spaceship that the aliens come from, and are vampires because the Eastern European guy is a vampire, and so they can just like breathe in space, or they can survive in vacuum because they're vampires.
Space Draculas.
Yeah, space Draculas, and they just kill the wolfman. And I realized as I was finishing the book that it was just vampires versus werewolves, and that was the entire fucking lead up of the story. And I was so pissed. It just like came out of nowhere. It made no fucking sense. You know, there's an entire chapter in a book about, you know, an F-22 Raptor shooting down, you know, alien transports as they come in. And it's kind of badass. I'm like, that's cool. You know, that's really cool. And then the end of the book is Dracula. What the fuck?
Who do you think could fly an F-22 that fast without passing out? Dracula's.
Well, it was like, you know, because the whole time I was like, man, how's he going to end this? Like, there's no way these guys are getting anything but just nuked from orbit, you know, once they wipe out enough occupiers and, you know, that whole thing. And I was just like, this is, it'd be kind of cool if he ends it. And then it just fucking came out of nowhere. So,
you know,
at some point, I will probably run a Space Dracula's game just for shits and giggles.
We've already established they exist in the Freedus verse.
That's true.
Along with space wizards and space werewolves.
Space wizards.
What was the... in one of the videos from I was watching from Scott Manley, he was talking... I can't... Let me see if I can remember then. Find the... Because you mentioned really, really accurate... really, really accurate, like, space operas. One of the... In a Scott Manley video, where I think the one where he talks about like launching this like fighter craft or fighter carrier, he talks about this. He talks about this book or this series called The Culture.
Oh yeah, yeah, Ian Banks's novels. Yeah, those are really good.
And one of the things he was talking about was just like taking a very realistic approach to space combat. Is like when he does that, he manages to make it cinematic by like. I mean, he takes the realistic perspective that today everything's controlled by computers. So when he does space combat, he describes it. He just takes painstaking effort to describe every maneuver that's being done, and then goes and says like, and then goes and says, and that was the first 0.3 seconds.
Yeah.
Because it's
that's
just
a lot of...
it's just computers like pointing lasers at each other.
Yeah. That's a lot of how the how David Weber's series goes, because except it's all about how fast missiles accelerate, you know, at you know points of C, and how fast electronic countermeasures get to them and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and it's strangely riveting.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the things. There was a really really slow paced series. There was an anime that also was like that called Crest of the Stars, which was I discovered drawn out as hell because. It's like 13 episodes, like four disc DVD compendium, and the actual manga that inspired it is one volume that is 300 pages.
Jesus.
So it's like, oh wow, that explains why this is so fucking slow.
Yeah.
But one of the things is that there was a sequel called Banner of the Stars, where in the first one, the first one is about the two characters meeting. One is an ob, which is like a cloned human that was designed to, they were basically optimized to fly spacecraft. Like they were bred with like a third sense that they can, or with a, they're bred with like a third eye that basically.
I was gonna say a third sense. What?
Yeah, no. Basically, they have a third eye that they have some kind of technology they can put on and. They put this halo around their head, and then they go and like plug into the ship, and it basically allows them. It basically makes the ship an extension of their body.
Cool.
But one of the things is like the whole story of Crest of the Stars is that there was a huge war between humans and the Ob because the Ob are like the Ob were basically like a servitor race for a while, and then realized that they were so much better and decided that they were going to go and be their own thing. And the main character ends up becoming like an is a human who becomes like an ob sympathizer, or he was like an ambassador or something for them in an ob conquered area. And in the second one, like the main character from that is she like commands a starship, and they're engaged in a war, and like all the battle sequences are about like, because I mean it's space combat, and they're taking a semi-realistic approach to space combat, and that like The whole sequence is like there's like five people on the bridge and one person is enemies have fired missiles, preparing to make evasive maneuvers in 10, 9. Evasive maneuvers made. Turning, preparing counterattack. And like pretty much like the whole thing is that they fight just by launching what they call space mines, which are just giant explosives that just have thruster blocks like on all sides of them. So they just drop out of the ship and then just immediately accelerate towards the target. I never actually watched too much of Banner of the Stars. I think there's a conclusion to it as well, but I have never read the manga or watched that series. I don't even know the name of it. Also, I should see if the I Have No Mouth But I Must Scream game is a.
Oh, that would be rad as hell. I'd fucking play the shit out of that.
Yeah, I should see if that's a Bannonware.
Yeah, probably is at this point. All right, I'm gonna go grab some coffee. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Oh man, really? Simant is? I fucking loved Simant. Hi, Amanda. We're on a break right now because Josh had to go change a tire or something. And Sam decided to go get more coffee. Yeah, I had some toast and an apple. What you up to? I see. Just like Katy Perry.
I return.
He forehead is fucked up. Okay.
Amanda! Hi, Amanda.
Oh yeah, Mother's Day's coming up soon, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, it's in May.
Oh. I never remember when Mother's or Father's Day is.
And my mom's usually pretty good to remind me when it is.
My dad always manages to remind me, hey, did you get your mom anything for Mother's Day? Ah, oh, fuck. No.
Where's my phone? Also, I ended up, speaking of phones, I made a 911 call last night because there was...
Oh, what?
Well, not about me, but wow. In the parking lot of my building, I just heard, like, I was going to sleep. It was like, I don't know, it was... just late, it's like 3 or something like that, and mm-hmm. I heard some people like yelling at each other, and that's not normal, but or that's not abnormal, but then it started getting like really, really loud, like the guy was very clearly getting angry, and I started hearing like slamming, and then there were voices from other people that are like, hey, get off of her, let her go, and like, okay,
yeah,
calling police now.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
And then as soon as I call them, of course, like, immediately everything goes quiet.
Yeah.
Well, and so I'm like, well, there were some people arguing, but they seem to have stopped. And then
there was a murder report on your in your apartment complex the next morning.
Oh, dear. That would be terrible.
Yeah, I've had to call the cops on arguments outside my window before. Sophomore year, I lived in a apartment complex that was like 100% party central for the city. You know, it was just all frat kids and you know, and college kids that lived there. And the apartment next to mine, you know, kind of had a like shared, not balcony, but we were on the second level and the stairs went up to them, and you know, we had a little landing area. You know, not. Definitely not bigger than, you know, like a kitchen size or whatever. But they had about 50 people packed onto it for a party.
Oh, dear.
And a fight broke out. It spilled out of their apartment and into the, you know, just onto the landing. And, you know, my window was directly above it. So I'm just looking out at it, you know, hanging out of the window on the phone with the cops going, describing what I'm seeing. It was good times.
Sheesh.
It was like 4 in the morning.
That's crazy. Now, it's not uncommon, like, It's not uncommon for me to hear just like random yelling back and forth late at night from like somewhere around the parking lot of my building.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
There's people all around you.
Yeah. But last night was the first time that I'd last night was the first time I've actually had to call somebody. I think they sent, and I think I heard a squad car come down.
Yeah, they probably respond to everything just to see what's going on.
Yeah, and then I thought I heard the dude that was yelling yell a little bit again, so maybe the cops had a couple words with him. I need a shave. I'm getting face dandruff. I just haven't because I'm a terrible, terrible person.
I think on the scale of things that make you a terrible, terrible person, not shaving is not one of them.
Well, okay, I'm a lazy, lazy person.
There you go.
Some point, I had gone through and considered what I started considering what sins I fulfilled, and I realized, wow, that's a lot of them.
Yeah.
I think it questionably Philip Gluttony, but and I'm not really greedy. Sloth, yeah.
I'm all about that fucking sloth.
Lust, I don't know. Probably.
No original sin. You're not living unless you've had original sin.
Don't think I can have original sin.
Yes, that is the joke.
Or at least that's what Christianity's taught me. Thanks, Jesus.
She's like, I didn't do that shit, bro. That wasn't me.
Also, no matter what anyone says, I will always refer to a Jesus in the plural as a group of Jizai.
That's one of the things I don't care if it's incorrect. It's just funny.
Yeah. Also, I still have this dice roller I wrote up for the for Fallout.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I still have it in my tabs. It's like the
Nice.
most because I made it comprehensive, so it's
Damn it, Kit Kat. No, do not sit on my laptop.
yeah.
Sorry.
But I made it comprehensive because the Fallout automatic weapon rules are garbage,
Yeah.
and so I wrote it to fit those because it basically says like as many rounds as you fire, you make a separate attack, and then they have a way to. But when you're firing a minigun, it fires 50 rounds.
Yeah, you don't want to roll 50 times.
Yeah, and the guy does have a way to approximate that, and I'm like, eh, for as long as we're doing, like, it's like just roll a whole bunch of die tens, and if it's below the tens place, then you hit. And it's like, eh, and then you have to roll, 50 separate attacks, or you take the Call of Cthulhu approach and roll one and say, multiply it by the number of attacks it hits. So this roller here follows. This roller here has number of attacks, and then also your weapon skill, the kind of damage dice it does. I went through and found out that no weapon rules like a D4 plus a D6, so that's fortunate. But they all do like 2D4 plus 2 damage, and then also AC directly just directly reduces from your chance to hit. Damage threshold immediately reduces the damage taken, like that just scrubs off damage, and damage reduction is a percentile decrease of damage.
Oh my God.
Well, because this guy took the he just took the mechanics from the original Fallout video games.
Yeah,
The fo
the
I there's a
tactical ones,
formula.
yeah. Yeah.
I had to take a formula and write it into this roller.
Damn.
And so it's like this really, it's not as nightmarish as it could have been.
That's true. That is true.
But it has so many fields because it's fully comprehensive. It accounts for your skill, your damage, number of attacks, the enemy, and the thing is you have to account for the enemy's armor class and damage threshold and damage reduction in order to properly count damage. And if you make multiple attacks, it will say which ones hit and which ones miss because there are some special well, just to see, what everything was, get a better. Because originally it just said how many attacks hit and how many attacks hit and how much damage was done. And now this one just says, it actually lists what all the rules were, which quickly takes up a lot of space.
Yeah.
And well, you can. I think if you do, you can do like 12 attacks, and it only takes up like 2 lines, because it outputs like all of it outputs everything that isn't the main stuff in like size 8 font.
Nice.
Because if you want to read it, just copy and paste it in a notepad or something.
Yeah, if you really want to know.
If you want to get into the nitty gritty of it.
Get straight down into that nitty gritty.
Mm.
Get all up in that nitty gritty.
Oh, so gritty. So nitty. Nitty. And Josh said he was going to change a tire.
Yeah, and somebody else's car. So I'm assuming that's somebody who lives at his house.
It's still going to be like 20, 30 minutes though, right?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, depending on what kind of car it is, I guess.
I don't know.
Changed a tire in about 10 minutes before.
I guess the only time I've actually changed a tire, the person who had it was missing the part of the jack that makes it easy to turn.
Yeah, well, I mean, that'll do it.
Well, and basically, like, we just didn't get anywhere until someone who had a hydraulic jack came out and jacked the car up, and then it's like, oh, yeah, now we're done.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you have a good jack and you've got a good tire iron, you can do it. It takes about as long as it takes you to, twist a tire iron.
Yeah. And
how fast can you pump a thing?
My roommate, it's actually for that reason that when my roommate bought his used car, it didn't actually, it was missing the mechanical jack that comes with it. And so we went to Walmart and just started going through jacks. And it was because of that experience, I'm like, oh yeah, you should get this hydraulic jack. Because cool. It's about the same size
and better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't actually know where to place a jack under my car.
You try and get it as close to the wheel well as possible.
Yeah, but you don't want to get it. You don't want to actually. There's certain points of the frame you want to put it on because certain points are capable of holding up the whole car.
Yeah, there's usually a place where you can stick a jack in. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I've only changed the tire once. The only thing I know is that you're supposed to tighten the lug nuts in a star pattern.
Yep.
Because.
You tighten them and take them off that way.
You don't have to take. You don't necessarily have to take them off that way. Because
I mean, I do. Just, it's good practice.
Yeah, because you only have to put them on in a star pattern because that pretty much ensures that it's it's pretty it's maintains like a caster of like 0 degrees with the wheel. And I only know I've done a lot of I've cleaned out a lot of wheel wells is the reason for that.
Yeah.
And I've also used a torque wrench for that purpose. Could you tighten?
Kitty cat says hello.
Hi, kitty cat. Your kitty cat made a face.
Did she? Oh, she did. A weird, winky, unenthused face. Yeah, I guess I'll be flirtatious.
Oh, my Chicago card reloaded. There goes $100.
Woo.
Yay, public transit. I should make sure I have money.
That's a good plan.
I told you we're paid out with LegalZoom now.
Yeah, you said.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so now it's just like $30 a month to. That's weird. I was entering my number to get into my online banking ID, and I started entering it, and I'm like, I don't remember it, but my fingers are just punching in the code.
I've had that happen before. It's so bizarre. When you're just like, wait a minute, what am I doing?
Yeah, no, something you've, if anything, you've committed to muscle memory. If you stop to think about it, you're like, how?
Yeah, what is it? What do I, fuck. Oh, I'm already in.
Yeah, no, it's so fucking crazy. That's what it is, okay. Yep, oh, right, because I just got paid recently.
Nice. Oh, shit, I got paid this week, too. I need to check my monies.
Yeah. Go bi-weekly pay periods.
Woo!
Also, one thing I realized in the game running about squatters in the underground dark days is that the people in that are making the amounts of money I'm giving those people is like I realized if I add up all the days that they're doing work, they're making about as much every month as I am.
But, they're not working every
Yeah,
day.
And they're also not losing, a third of it to taxes.
Yeah.
they're just working, full 8-hour days every single day.
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, hi, Josh. You're my favorite customer.
Hi, Amanda. Okay, so yeah, that was a giant. That was more of a pain in the ass than I thought it was gonna be.
Tire changing. Yeah, that's gonna
everything go well. Well as it needed
to. Well, basically, my dad's looking for a tire that might fit if we have one floating around.
Oh.
If not, then we'll have to go get one at some point.
Okay.
Because fucking thing, like that thing blew out.
Oh, that sucks.
Like on the inside. Yeah. So that's not good.
No, that tire's pretty much fucked at that point.
Yep, it is completely fucked. Also, it's like I've never had to stand on like a T-bar, like a I guess T-bar, like stand completely on it and then like kind of jump a little to break a nut before.
Nice.
Holy shit.
I've had
They were on there.
Yeah, I've had to apply. You know, I've had to step on one, but never stand completely on one. That's really funny.
Yeah. Good gravy. But now I've got some French toast.
Nice.
It came out of a tire. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Oh, God. Tire toast. Bread egg. Tire bread egg.
Go eat some food, Manda.
Wake Nate up.
Wake him up with the smell of breakfast. Oh, there's no food. Okay.
Just create the smell of breakfast without food.
A fat lady fell into a ditch.
Recorded across the intercloud.
That was my favorite part of the fucking...
Yes.
A fat lady. A water ditch.
Under the sail. Oh, wow. I just noticed the extent of... I'm sending a message to my mom because Mother's Day or whatever. But I just found... The last message she sent me was about them catching the bomber.
Oh, wow.
And the message is, coverage on TV is extensive. The caravan back to Boston has a parade atmosphere. People along the route are applauding the paddy wagon, cheering and high-fiving all around.
Jesus, fucking Americans.
And also, like, one thing that really... The thing that kind of that sours that point, like, when you think about it, is like, oh, yeah, there was... You know, everybody's talking about the bombing in, like, Boston... But it's like a day afterwards, a fucking fertilizer plant in Texas exploded, leaving like
100 dead or something.
Yeah, like leveled 50 houses, and
that didn't have malicious intent.
Yeah,
is the thing.
Yeah,
and well, and also on the other thing, like I was reading through all that coverage, and like the day that they were tracking down the bomber, and the day that, you know, they killed the first bomber, and they were tracking down the other one, and I saw like. You know, like, our news reports updated recently, and it's like, 18 hours ago from CNN, suicide bomber in Baghdad Cafe, 27 dead. Yeah. And it's like, oh, yeah, we stopped talking about that because it's the same news.
Yeah.
That was kind of the thing in the end of Through a Glass Darkly that I talk about, that's like, yeah, gang shootings stop being on the news because it becomes old hat.
Yeah.
Just... Until a promising student is shot.
Until a white person gets killed.
Yeah, or a really
a non-poor person. Yeah.
Yes, or someone who's like doing really well in school, or a really, or you know, like the Heisman winner.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Until or somebody who's like under the age of 10.
Yeah.
Then it comes back in the news, and then everybody starts talking about gun control, because clearly all the gangsters are using guns they bought from legitimate stores.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a person on NPR that made a good point about that, though, and I'm going to stop talking about this so we get back to a game and not a long debate of gun control, but there was a thing that was interesting that one of the higher-ups at the ATF was saying was that it's like, you know, he was saying that the ATF is asked to do like so much with nothing.
Yeah.
Because they're denied so many records and so many things they could possibly use to investigate to investigate like gun sales.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they were, well, at least the NPR mentioned the NRA by name, but I don't know if that was the quote from the individual. But there's a lot of people that don't want them to be able to track people or track gun sales because nobody wants to be tracked. But at the same time, we want them to track gun sales because we want to make sure, we want to see where all the gun, how maniacs are getting all these guns.
Yeah.
We want them to do their job, but just not to us.
Yeah, exactly.
Just need that what from Chainsaw suit, that hat, the gun hat that detects when you're going crazy.
Sentient gun judges.
Because guns know it's right.
I want sentient gun judges. This is the thing I'd be okay with.
I don't know how none of us have made a monster that was a sentient gun judge.
Mostly because we haven't made new monsters in a long fucking time.
It's all been weird kids, yeah.
Yeah. I should run some of the road trip side ventures. Like, I have a whole lot of
then
monsters ideas,
I will make
ideas,
a sentient
but...
gun judge.
Huh?
I will make a sentient gun judge, then, if you do that.
Yeah, yes. there's a couple of them. There's the, what is it? The, there's the art gallery and the Night of the Living Roadkill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot about the art gallery one. The art gallery one's a good scenario.
Yeah, it's interesting.
At least it reads well. I've never heard of it.
I've never run it, yeah. But yeah, I need to run that sometime. But like, yeah, I have a whole lot of ideas to work in the Freedosverse, but like all of them. The thing is, I'm getting a lot of ideas for Pixies because
Pixies is what's being run right now.
Well, not just because it's what's being run, but because, you know, you have a whole... It's basically like, oh yeah, the world is like butt-fuck crazy, and you're a special agent designed to deal with all of it. So that pretty much gives me infinite possibilities.
Yeah.
I did a game where everybody went to the fucking moon.
Yeah.
The only limit is yourself.
Pretty much.
And that's the thing, like, yeah, special secret government agency that's just licensed to go crazy. And all of the scenarios I have ready for that are just fucking crazy. But yeah.
Alrighty.
Yeah, we were going after the, oh yeah, let me close this. Alright, I'm back.
Hooray.
But Josh apparently burped.
Yeah, and Josh burped.
But yeah, I came up with a tagline just after you left.
What was it?
Coyote cops, pants on, hammer back, safeties off.
Nice.
Let me just open this cheese. Some people outside are yelling random stuff at each other, as they're off wrapped to do.
Woo. Holy shit.
What?
This is...
I'm curious and also concerned now.
Oh, God. No, it's a cool video.
Okay.
It's just very loud.
Hi, I'm Mark.
Hey, look at the video I just linked. It's pretty cool.
Okay. That's cheese. It's actually too bad. He has to put on the belt after assembling the legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like all the seals he has.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, the arms are just hilariously short.
Yeah.
Because I guess, well, because it's not mechanized, but...
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, it's not that inaccurate, except his hands are too small.
Yeah, his hands are too small, shoulders aren't broad enough.
Yeah, well, he's not a 9-foot-tall Superman.
Yeah, exactly, and it's not mechanized.
Yeah,
that's pretty well done. I like it.
That's one of the things I like. Like, the Imperial Guard is like the weakest force in 40K because they're just not because they're incredibly weak, but because they're not like the genetically enhanced 10-foot-tall Supermen that spit acid.
They're just the National Guard in space.
Well, they're just people.
They're just the army. Even like they're not as noobish as the National Guard. Enough as National Guard, but they're just dudes who have some military training.
Yep.
I think that was the...
Oh, nice to have the full helmet, too.
I think that was the thing that Sam was saying before, that, like, while the Space Marines are great for, like, specific ops, most of your battles are won and lost by, you know, legions and legions of men with las guns.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah, a 1,000 men can win a battle, but a 1,000,000 men can win a war.
Also tanks.
Lots of tanks.
Sometimes, while a one man tank is good, a squad of one man tanks is better, and a fleet of actual tanks is also pretty decent.
It's also good. That's good. We'll take it. My favorite Imperial Guard story is just the absurdity of some of the battles, and I think there's one on like Armageddon where they were fighting in like this city-sized factory, and they were reinforcing themselves by just rolling off the tanks that were coming off the production line while the battle was going on from the end, like just rolling them off of the production line and into the line of fire. And just
that's wonderful.
Manning them and fighting in them, you know, chimeras as they come off the factory production line. It's just ridiculous.
I like that that also implies that the factory not only builds them, but fully arms them.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be an interesting... Honestly, like, that would be an interesting scenario to even play. If you could find a way to make that... Like, even if you had tanks that weren't fully loaded, just, like, you can deploy all this cover every round.
Yeah. It'd be pretty cool. Be interesting for, like, a sort of real-time strategy StarCraft infantry-esque level.
The whole map is just a huge fucking factory, and you just
yeah,
keep
and there's always
more tanks coming in.
Yep, but they're, you know, they're not armed or whatever, they're super low on health or whatever.
Yeah, it's a risk versus reward thing. The longer you wait to deploy the tanks, the better they are.
Yeah. That'd be pretty rad.
Alright. We back, ready for Coyote Cops.
Yes.
Coyote Cops.
Alright, hang on just a moment while I try and send a text. My brain just stopped.
How would your brain stopping make you need to send a text? I guess to like a doctor?
No, I was trying to send a text because my brain had stopped, so I couldn't send one. I was failing at, you know, basic communications. All right, games are happening.